Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends on this Wednesday. When you think of the words God's judgment, what comes to your mind? When you watch horrific events take place, do you sometimes think it might be God's judgment on people or a place? What do you understand that Jesus and the Bible teach us about God's judgment? Why is it important today in a world where evil is so rampant and wickedness seems to run wild without accountability? Let's return to Jerusalem about 2,000 years ago and the shocking thing King Herod Agrippa did after the Apostle Peter had been miraculously delivered from Herod's dungeon, as we witnessed in Acts chapter 12 yesterday. Acts 12:19 tells us Herod had a thorough investigation made of how Peter escaped. Herod held the guards responsible and had them executed. He then traveled to Caesarea, a major coastal city we have visited with several people, remember? Acts chapter 8, verse 40 tells us Philip ended up there and evidently lived the rest of his life there with his family. Acts chapter 9, verse 30 tells us some Jesus followers took Saul to Caesarea so he could take a ship to his hometown of Tarsus, escaping those trying to kill him. Acts chapter 10 gives us the story of Roman centurion Cornelius, who lived in Caesarea, and the visit of the Apostle Peter to Cornelius' home, and how the Holy Spirit came upon Gentiles who believed the gospel of Jesus, which Peter proclaimed to them. Now, in Acts chapter 12, verse 19, King Herod left the ruckus in Jerusalem, which followed Peter's unexplainable escape from Herod's dungeon, and King Herod went down to Caesarea. Why did he make this trip? We don't exactly know, but I presume he did so often, for his grandfather, King Herod the Great, had undertaken a massive construction project more than 60 years before to build the Caesarea Maritima, a fantastic seaside harbor, amphitheater, and palace area in Caesarea. To this day, the archaeological preserved ruins of this remarkable area are a must-see for tourists. I've included a web link for more detail of this place to which King Herod Agrippa, the grandson, probably came often, boastfully claiming the rich heritage of his grandfather's genius and accomplishments. Acts chapter 12, verse 20 to 22 describe a spectacle in which King Herod Agrippa, in all his royal pomp and circumstance, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. It should not be difficult for us to imagine the pageantry and spectacle of that day in Caesarea. I've often wondered if Philip and his daughters may have been in the crowd watching one of the most powerful men of his day receive great accolades from the people who feared him. Was Cornelius and were his soldiers among those positioned strategically to keep the crowd peaceful? The record Dr. Luke recorded of that moment says, "The people shouted, 'This is the voice of a God, not a man.' Immediately, because King Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died." Acts 12, verse 22 and 23. This description, may I suggest, is God's view of what happened here. God's patience had run out on King Herod Agrippa, and God sent an angel to strike the king down in judgment. I find it interesting that Dr. Luke gives us the graphic details of worms, which, by the way, was not all that uncommon then or even today in places where sanitary conditions are very poor. Josephus, one of the most renowned historians of the first century, recorded that King Herod was suddenly struck with severe abdominal pain that day and taken to his house, and he died 5 days later. Pause. Can you think of other times in history when God's patience ran out and God poured out his judgment here on planet Earth? May I give you six examples to ponder? First, Genesis chapter 3, verse 23 and 24, describe God's banishment of Adam and Eve from the perfect Garden of Eden after their sin of rebellion against God. Second, Genesis chapter 6 declares God's judgment of his global flood upon the wickedness of all the world's population and his plan to rescue only righteous Noah and his family. The flood is described in Genesis chapter 7 as lasting 150 days and destroying all living things on earth except those in Noah's ark. Third, Genesis 19, verse 23 and 24, God rained down burning sulfur on the towns of Sodom and Gomorrah in his judgment of the unrestrained wickedness in those cities. Fourth, Numbers chapter 16 describes God's judgment upon Korah, Dathan, and Abiram and their entire families. These three men were among the trusted leaders alongside Moses and Aaron, yet they rebelled against Moses and against God. The earth opened and swallowed them alive and all their possessions. Fifth, Daniel chapter 4 describes King Nebuchadnezzar's sudden fall into insanity for 7 years. He was the most powerful man in the world, yet boasting, pride, and refusal to acknowledge the God of Daniel, who had done so much for Nebuchadnezzar, resulted in God's terrible judgment upon him. Amazingly, God's mercy is also seen here, for God restored Nebuchadnezzar to his royal throne after his repentance. And sixth, Acts chapter 5 is the brief story of God striking down Ananias and Sapphira as they lied to the apostles about the offering they brought to help the needs of the widows. Now please remember this powerful truth from Hebrews chapter 4. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him before whom we must give account. From the time we were children, all of us, no matter your family or your country or generation in history, we are taught accountability for our words, choices, and actions, right? While that varies from generation to generation and society to society, it does not vary with God. Remember, Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 reminds us that God says, "I, the Lord, do not change." In the years after the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ, God was doing a great work in Israel and the entire Roman Empire through the apostles, Saul, Paulus of Tarsus, Barnabas, and thousands of that first generation of Christians. Opposition and persecution was widespread, but with this dramatic death of King Herod, Jesus reaffirmed to the world what he had said to his disciples in Caesarea Philippi, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it," Matthew 16, verse 18. And Jesus is continuing his watchfulness over his people all over the world today, including you and me. So be encouraged, my friends, and live your life to honor Jesus with confidence that Jesus is the risen and reigning King of Kings. And I'll meet you here tomorrow again for something very exciting.